You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
We want to help you take territory, expand territory in your marriages and relationships today. And so we're just going to have a conversation. We did this last year and so many people were blessed and impacted by it. But we're going to be talking about relationships today. And so before I begin, I just want to throw out a disclaimer. We're going to be talking about heart issues. We're going to be talking about relationship issues. We're going to talk about even some sexual issues. And I want to make sure that nobody hears shame. I don't want anyone to hear that anyone's speaking down to you. I don't want the enemy to lie to you and tell you because maybe you made a mistake or you've messed up in relationships, or even if you've been divorced, that you're bad or any of that stuff. We're talking about the heart, God's heart, what the Bible says, what healthy relationships look like. And it's really our heart and passion that God not only extends territory in your relationships, predominantly in your marriage, but also that anyone that has struggled in this area, that also too could be redeemed.
God is a redeeming God. That's what he does. And he paid the price thousands of years ago on a cross for our mistakes and for our sin. So just want to reiterate, if there's any moment that you feel condemnation in the message this morning, it's the enemy coming to try to steal what Holy Spirit wants to do. Holy Spirit brings us conviction that empowers us, that gives us the grace to be able to overcome and believe and have faith for what God is going to do next to redeem in our lives. Amen. So again, I just want to reiterate, if you've gone through a divorce or you're going through something that's heavy right now, be encouraged, be empowered by the message this morning and be filled with faith. In fact, right now, can you just ask for the gift of faith? Just welcome right now, Holy Spirit, for the gift of faith that's already within you to just grow. Lord, I thank you that you are magnifying and multiplying the gift of faith that's in the room right now so that they would hear these words with faith, Lord, so that you can expand territory through relationships in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're going to just talk briefly. We're not going to do what we did last year and tell our whole story, but we're going to talk briefly about our relationship and how we got to where we're at. And we've been married 16 and a half years and dated for 2 years. So 18 and a half years we've been together. And when we started dating, it was love at first sight. We went on one date. The Holy Spirit said, she's your wife, disciple her for 2 years. It was like fireworks. I mean, it was like head over heels, madly in love. I mean, we fell in love in Seattle. It was the summer of love. Like, no, you hang up. No, you hang up. Like, it was like that kind of, you know, nonsense. But the first 2 years was just amazing because we fell in love.
Yeah, and then we started having to prepare for marriage and life. And all of the sudden, the things that were in me, the things that were in you begin to collide. And so today you see when we're saying 16 and a half years into marriage, and it even might look like from a platform sense that we have a perfect marriage. We don't have a perfect marriage. And the first 5 years of our marriage was anything but. It was rough. And it was because there was selfishness and so many, no spiritual maturity in me. And if you know my story, you know that I came out of a lifestyle of addiction to drugs, to alcohol, an extreme life that was completely far from the Lord. And just months later, meet a pastor's kid who's never done any of those things, loved the Lord, loved the presence of God, but then walked in pride and arrogance.
Even after we fell in love in our dating years, we didn't do all the right things to prepare for marriage.
Yeah.
So today we're going to predominantly be talking about marriage, but we do want to talk about just a few little dating things.
Yeah, of the dating stuff first.
And so we got asked tons of questions on social media about dating questions. And so we're just going to give some general dating advice. Could I see the hands of the single people? All the single ladies. All the single ladies. Okay. So we're going to give you some basic dating advice. Okay. So here's my first one. You ready? You're going to need a pen to write this down. I'm going to break down Greek and Hebrew and a lot of theological explanations and expositories. It's going to be great.
Just say it.
Chill out. Come on, single people, turn to your friends and just say, chill out. He's talking to you.
There is this there's this panic. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm 24. What am I gonna do? Like, there's this panic because you see other people, okay? And it's kind of like in ministry where there's some churches that explode and it's like awesome and people are like, wow, they're doing everything right. It's amazing. And then their pastors fall and there's calamity and all this stuff. What does it matter if you build things fast or things go fast and it's not built right? So the first thing I'll tell you to date out and or chill out. And then here's the thing is there is this obsession for the right one. We believe that God ordains this, all of your steps. I disagree with so many pastors on this. Okay. So if you think that there's not the right one and that's the theology you want to run with, great. You'll find a billion of them on YouTube to agree with you. I don't believe that. I believe over and over and over, God took one woman that he ordained for a man. There's too much evidence. If he has your life, your everything that you're called to do planned out, it's my personal opinion. And I believe the Bible supports that. It's easier to
say. Your spouse has a major place in your life.
Correct.
With all of the plans and purpose that he has planned for
but
your life.
I think where people get it wrong is they're trying to figure out the right one for them.
And so here's
what's challenging about this. How many, just if this bear witness with you, that you thought not about relationships, but you thought you knew what you wanted in life, not relationships, in life. You went after that, but you realized that wasn't what God wanted for you, and he changed your path. Wave your hand if that bears witness. Okay, so if that happened in other areas in life, don't you think it's highly probable that it also happens in relationships? And so there's this obsession about finding the right one that you need to be aware of, because you may not be spiritually mature enough yet to even know what the right one is.
Yeah, and here's two things that it can boil down to is really selfishness of what he said. Let me try to find the perfect mate that will serve me in what all of my call and my purpose is. So I have to make sure that this person carries everything to serve and support what God has called me to do. That's not gonna work well. God's probably gonna halt in bringing your spouse until he's gonna deal with some pride and some issues that are there. And then another root issue that takes place is fear. That a spirit of fear begins to lead you. What if this isn't the right one? What if I mess everything up? What if I marry the wrong person? Look, no decision that you are going to make with fear leading you is going to give you the fruit that you desire. And so if this is a fear that you can see that you've been operating in, you first need to deal with that spirit, because fear is not just an emotion, it is a spirit. And it is already trying to lead you in one of the greatest decisions that you and the Lord are gonna make together. And so you have to be leading, especially men, you have to be leading in faith so that you are hearing the Holy Spirit and who your wife is, which is something that you did and led in.
So she just said, you have to hear the Holy Spirit. You have to hear God. Yeah. Okay, I get this question. I wanna call it a dumb question, but it's not. It's a genuine question by so many people. They're like, how do you know they're the right one? You hear God. And that's the beauty about going to daily encounters, and you learn how to hear God for everything. Then you just ask him about this. So people come to us and our pastoral team. It's awesome. I get to pray all the time. In fact, this is what happened with Pastor Jasmine and Connor when they started dating. We're like, great, you guys are gonna hear God about each other. We're gonna hear God. We'll all hear God together. We'll get in unity. And guess what? This isn't, I'm really attracted to this person and they got, you know, 6 out of the 10 musts on my list. And so we're gonna go for it. Because they might have 1 out of the 10 things on your list, but you heard God. So we're gonna hear God and we're gonna go with it. And even in our church, as the pastoral care team, this is what we'll do with you is help you learn to hear God, okay? So I'm gonna give you one practical advice and then we're gonna get into some of this stuff. So practical advice for dating is, and you wanna meet someone, I hear this all the time, is it okay for a girl to go after guys? Okay, you know, what does this look like? Listen, serve at the church. There are weddings all the time. It's like Pastor Steve's side hustle is doing weddings. Sell more houses. What are you doing? Run for another office seat. He's doing all these weddings nonstop because people are meeting each other in church, in community, and then falling in love and getting married. So you, if you're interested, if you think, hey, I'm coming into this season, I'm ready to find my spouse, serve in the church. It's a great, great advice.
Okay, another practical piece that we have so many questions that are always revolving around, like, what can I do or what can I get away with in dating pertaining to sexual scenarios? And it's like how far or how close can I get my toes to the line instead of, here is a standard that the Word of God said, so I'm going to make sure that I am above reproach so that if there's any moments or slips that I am still above with the standard of holiness, what truth, what the Word of God says. And so we strongly share this, and I know it's something that's taught in our youth ministry with young adults and in groups, but holiness, righteousness, this is something we are to pursue, and we don't stop pursuing it when we're in a relationship and dating. So we hear all the time of
say it again for the people in the back.
Of the oops scenarios that comes afterwards. Oops, this accidentally happened. Look, I have never known somebody on a date in a restaurant that went surrounded by people that accidentally oopsed in a restaurant. You want to know why? There is accountability and people around them. So you are setting yourself up for failure. You are tricking yourself. Maybe it's premeditated and you need to deal with some of those roots in there before you start dating. But if you are going to a house to hang out by yourself or an evening movie by yourself,
your three-day
you are
road
setting
trips.
Yourself up. What does the Word of God say?
Wait, this is what we are saying. This is so important. Make it clear just so there's no ambiguity. We're saying do not have sex or come close to sexual relationships while you're dating. It is sin.
Yes, it is sin.
And so I get harped on all the time because we're not afraid to talk about homosexuality or heterosexual perversion, but we're talking about heterosexual perversion. Any sex outside of biblical marriage is sin.
Yeah.
And you may be sitting next to someone this morning and you're in sin with, you could just tap your, just like, hey, we need to repent at the service. We're going to go to, there'll be people down here front. No one's going to judge you. Come on down.
Beautiful.
Okay. We're going to help you and get you right with God. Because here's the thing here's the problem. I told someone that was living with their girlfriend or boyfriend one time and they're complaining to me about their health and all this stuff and everything's going wrong. And they asked me to pray for them. I was like, I will pray for you, but I'm hesitant. I said, here's what I need to tell you. I said, you think God's really going to be listening to our prayers when you're living in sin? I said, you're in sin. Do what is right. You love this girl.
I do love her.
Then marry her. Let's get some counseling. Let's get ready. Let's do this right. Move out. Let's prepare. You love each other. Let's get married. Let's do. And then guess what? Then we're like, Lord, would you bless us? Lord, would you prosper us? Lord, would you put your favor on us? And guess what? He will, because you're living righteous or what is right in God's eyes. Okay, let me read 1 Corinthians 6:18 to you. It says this, 1 Corinthians 6:18. It's in your notes, if you text notes, I believe. Flee immorality. Don't play with it. Don't counsel it. Watch this. Let me help you. Don't negotiate with it.
Well, don't pretend the temptation's not there.
Me and God have an understanding. No, you fornicate. That's your understanding. Flee from it. And here's what about every other sin a man commits is outside the body. But their mortal man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Come on, let's say that together, okay? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Who is in you? Who is in you? The Holy Spirit is in you, whom you've received from God. You are not your own. So the world says, my body, my choice. Come on, read it on the screen. The Word of God says your body is not your own. For you have been bought with a price, so glorify God with your body. So watch, if your body is a temple, imagine this. You know, people get upset when like people wear cowboy hats in church. I literally had someone one time, I went on Christian TV and I was wearing ripped jeans and they're like, he had ripped jeans on. I'm like, sir, they were holy.
Oh my.
Watch.
Okay.
So freak out about like, oh, did you see what they're wearing in church? Did you see what they're doing? Did you see? And there's this like, don't allow that in church. How many have heard that or been around any of that? Okay. So why do they do that? Because they respect God's house. They might be a little religious, but they respect God's house. What if we honored God's house in us as much as we did God's house that you visited once every other month? What if you honored this temple as much as you did this temple? And that's the key that you need to understand, is not dishonoring the temple of the Lord, which is you, while you're dating. Because here's the thing, is that things do not go, temptations and lust don't go away when you get married. Yeah. They magnify. And what you don't deal with when you're single magnifies when you get married. And so we're gonna end, here's the last piece of advice for dating people. Listen, pay attention to what we're gonna talk about next.
Yeah.
Because too many dating people hang out with single people that don't know what they're talking about.
So good.
And you need to hang out with married folk that have been married 10, 15, 20 years and learn what godly relationships look like. So listen to the rest of this.
So one of the questions that we got was, as a single person, how do I prepare for marriage? And we are going to get into all of that right now. So as we impart into marriages, single people in the room, make sure you are taking notes, because what we're going to share today is going to prepare you for marriage. So our backstory, 16 and a half years of marriage.
Over heels in love, 16 and a half years of marriage. And here's what we really want to share our hearts with you, is that people see our relationship now, and I hear it all the time. I hear it on social media. I don't want to make just the trolls the thing I talk about. People all the time are like, we admire you guys. We look up to you guys, the way you love each other, the way you raise your kids, the way you guys work together in ministry, and you admire us. And that's wonderful. But we want to expose our dirt today so that you know it wasn't always like this. And probably the first or five, maybe even 6 years of our marriage were borderline a disaster. Yeah. You wanna tell them why?
It's supernatural. We're both alive today, for sure.
And
so we sit before everybody.
And we still argue.
Yes, we do.
To this, we argued this week.
If you have not noticed, we are both very strong personalities with lots of strong opinions and stances
Let's talk about things that we argue about. I'll give you an example. So we argue about driving.
Because he's a horrible driver.
Heather
if
thinks,
you see a white truck
clapping,
with a cross
sir?
Equals mercy that is a Raptor truck, get three lanes over so that you and your children are safe, and then pray. Put your hands, extend it towards his truck,
turn her
and
mic
pray
down.
For your pastor.
Hold on.
Pray for your pastor and everybody else driving around him,
my
but
turn.
Everybody arrives safely.
Hold on a second, my turn. Heather, and maybe this is a spirit on other women in this house, she feels like I don't have the ability to drive a car without her in it.
We are in unity.
Like all the other times.
We are in unity right now.
Like I couldn't 100%. Get to the destination without her. Hold on a second.
Well, without me or without the thing that buzzes constantly and vibrates our seats that is supposed to be for emergencies that happens every 90 seconds in the car because we are 2 inches from everybody's bumper driving 70 miles an hour.
Okay. She has a problem with my driving. She hits parked objects.
Okay. Why does Pastor Lisa Seville have to wear a diaper when she rides in the car with you? Right. It's true. Wherever she's at in this room, she says, I have to bring my diaper.
There was the line, you just went below approach.
I'm pretty sure our 3-year-old said last week, Daddy, I don't want to die. Slow down.
Okay, listen. In all honesty, I could say before the Lord, Heather and I have the best marriage right now we've ever had. That we've ever had. And when the prophetic word of the year of expanding territory came, we got together and we said, we are going to expand territory in our marriage. Watch, we don't want the best relationship we've ever had. We want an even better relationship. Come on, if you're sitting with your spouse, grab their hand right now. Just squeeze their hand right now. You're not married yet, Pastor Jasmine and Connor. I said spouses. Listen.
They're engaged. If you're engaged, you can squeeze.
Okay.
A hand.
So.
A hand. An arm.
Come on. Squeeze their hand and just tell them, we're going to expand territory in our marriage. 1 Chronicles 4:10, this is the year of expanding territory. So here's the thing. We made a decision that we are going to partner in taking territory in our marriage.
Yes. Is this my...
I stopped talking for you.
Okay. So this week, as I was actually praying into this moment, I know we're transitioning from just a funny moment, but I was ministering at SLS, and it's such an honor and privilege to get to minister at SLS. Pastor Matt, you're doing such an incredible job leading it, for sure. And it was during ministry time, and I went, and I felt there was supposed to be this ministry moment of my knowledge, because you know in part, you prophesy in part, was that, okay, Lord, you're going to heal people right now of spiritual parents that have been abusive or bad models. And it instantly, the Holy Spirit corrected me and said, no, they're going to be healed of what their parents or other marriage models have actually produce unhealthy patterns that they're operating in their marriages. And really that it wasn't their marriages in that moment, but instantly the Holy Spirit spoke to me in marriages for this Sunday. And I felt that there's going to be, and we're going to do this at the altar ministry time, but that God is going to break off unhealthy patterns that have influenced you, some of you without even knowing, that are breaking apart your marriages right now, where you're operating and slandering your husband because it's what you watched your mom do to your father for years. Or maybe husbands struggling and not putting your household, your children, and your wife first because you watched your dad work to a bone and never be home, and that's your model of what a husband and a father does. And I just believe there's going to be a beautiful moment, even maybe as we're just sharing and speaking, but all the way until altar ministry, where God is going to give us his model and a new model for healthy marriage today. So how to take territory in our marriage. And the first thing that we felt very strongly was this word of selfishness.
You got to work on selfishness. And marriage is God's battle on selfishness. James 4:1, CEV version says, "Why do you fight and argue with each other? Isn't it because you are full of selfish desires? That fight to control your body. You want something you don't have. You will do anything to get it. You will even kill. But you still cannot have what you want. You won't get it by fighting and arguing. You should pray, yet even when you pray, your prayers are not answered because you pray just for selfish reasons." Now, here's what's interesting is I read this verse this week, and I was reminded of 1 Peter 3:7, where it talks about, husbands, your prayers will be hindered when you're fighting with your wife. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me something to impart into this house. Why do we only use marriage advice with the scriptures that only speak to marriage?
So good.
We should be taking all scripture and applying it to expanding territory in our marriage. Did you hear what I just said? So when the Bible talks about forgiveness, it's not just spouses. It's just forgiving your spouse. It's all forgiveness is directed in this. All love is directed in this. All pride is directed in this. All fighting is directed in this. And so we can use God's word to help our marriage, not just the verses about marriage.
Yeah, so one thing that you and I have both really, I want to say fought for in our marriage, but is in what you can get caught up in is always knowing your spouse's weaknesses over your own. So it's really fun to keep them accountable for their weaknesses and their mistakes and what they don't do well. And then what you have is this constant state of arguing and fighting in your marriage. And so what we call it is that we prefer the other person over ourselves. And so when I am preferring Landon over being right in a scenario, then I'm going to take on his perspective, his heart, his week, what he's under, what potentially spiritual warfare that is taking place, what pressures that are on his shoulder instead of me being right in a moment. Philippians 2:3-4 says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition," or really it's just selfishness, "rather in humility, Value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And 1 Corinthians 10:33 says it like this: even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Look, your marriage is your best or your worst witness of faith.
This is so important. Your marriage is your best witness, or it is your worst witness. People will be saved or reject God by the influence of your marriage.
This is why your marriage is going to be attacked in the way that it is. If your marriage has been attacked in this last year, the supernatural is because of this very scripture right here. That your marriage is a testimony. It should be a testimony of God's goodness, of his power, of his grace, and of his mercy. It's why the Bible talks about that your house should be in order first. As an elder, as a leader, if you are a ministry or a business owner, you need to make sure that your marriage, your household, your children, not just in an orderly fashion. What is it talking about when it says in order, that there is unity, that there is fruit? Heavenly fruit, not stuff, fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control that is pouring out of your marriage and out of your children.
So one of the best ways that you prefer one another, just to make it simple, and we want to use real simple language today, is to serve one another.
Yeah.
To be intentional about serving one another. So Heather and I were laying in bed last night, we're talking about this concept, and we just asked each other, what are ways that we serve one another? And so we asked, how do we intentionally do it, and then how do we best receive it? And this is a real fun thing. It actually really ministered to my heart last night. But how I try to serve Heather is when I know she's ministering, or in maybe your world, that you have a big week at work or something like that, I do everything in my power to take a load off of her, whether it's dishes or cleaning up or making sure I have special out. You don't need to clap, ma'am.
It's a good thing.
I'm joking. Or special. No, but this is thing, because there's this mindset
makes
of.
Makes my heart do that. There's this mindset of.
I was really teasing. There's this mindset of macho men that I don't need to do that. And honestly, when I'm making sure the kids are having fun and loved and in bed on time and homework's done well, and I am looking at all of the things that she does on a regular basis, and I take them on so that she could be free to minister or have whatever her
lead,
her spiritual fight, whatever is of the week. Little things like even getting her favorite coffee and things like that, serving her. And here's the thing, is after 16 and a half years of marriage, and even though my title is the senior lead pastor, is I am honored to serve her, and I am motivated to serve her.
And honestly, it blesses me so much, because I can't do what I'm doing if I don't know that my babies aren't loved and cared for at home. And so it is trampoline parks, it is park, it is baseball, it is hands-on dad. And I believe we have seen for far too long this movement of fatherlessness, of the dads feeling like it is just the mom's job to care and love for the children. And this is a lie in our culture. And it is proven that it is a lie from the enemy, because our children are rebelling. They are rebelling against parents, and they are running into the ways of the world because they are not, they don't have the loving, strong father figure at home that knows how to embrace them when he gets home from work, that knows how to sit down and do homework, that knows how to pray before a meal, that knows how to talk with a daughter and say, hey, what are the things that are on your heart right now? I called him, I think it was a couple weeks ago on a justice night, to ask him a question. And he said, sorry, I couldn't pick up right now. I can call you back in a second, because Pei and I are playing piano and worshiping in our room together right now. Beautiful moments of fatherhood investing into our children. So I just want to even take this moment. This isn't about, you know, glorifying and, oh, he's an incredible father, but I believe that this should be the heart. And if it's not already, no condemnation in the moment, but not to believe that as a father, your children don't need you. you have a greater impact than you know, and it serves your wife.
This is really exciting. When I asked Heather last night, I was like, how do you think you best serve me? I literally said to her out loud, I won't tell you exactly what I said to her, but I said to her out loud, I said, there's no way you're going to guess this. There's no way you're going to guess I know how you best serve me, but you're not going to believe how you best serve me. And I was floored that she guessed it. And she said, it's how I trust you. And when she trusts me of when I said the Lord spoke to me is the number one way that I feel served by my wife.
Because my trust allows me to follow and submit to my husband. And so when we are both strong leaders and we will both be hearing, I mean, we are definitely the ones that when it comes to this split, one person is going one way home, the other person is going the other way home. And we both think that our ways are the fastest ways. And we have all of our reasons of why we think our ways are the fastest ways. But I trust that my husband hears the voice of God. And when he began to put his relationship with Jesus as the very first, hearing God's voice was his number one goal in life. What is to not trust, follow, and submit to that pattern?
This is such a big deal because I, for years, broke trust in our marriage in the early days. And so to hear the number one way that she serves me is to trust me is massive because I broke trust.
So this is really important because I remember in those early days when he broke trust, you can listen to last year because we told our whole testimony in that and just his struggle in pornography and things like that early on in our marriage. But he had broken trust. And I remember some of those days, him trying to use submit. And I remember one day it just came out. I said, then give me something to submit to.
Show.
Give me something to follow. And I say this to not incite women to not stand in unity with their husbands, but what my heart's cry is, give me holiness to follow. Give me righteousness. Give me purity. Your heart that's in unity with the Holy Spirit, because everything within me wants to follow my husband. And then there was a transition that took place in him. And he's still not perfect to this day, but women, this would be my encouragement to you, is if your husband has broken trust or hurt you, stop waiting for him to be perfect if he is currently trying. And this is what happens with women, is instead of forgiveness, I had to release forgiveness to him. That was the only route to trust. And I can be have all of my reasons of why I don't trust and why he broke and the whole thing, but that's going to be the fruit of my marriage forever, and we're both going to be miserable. Or I can put my pride aside. I can forgive my husband, and I can see the attempts of him pursuing God, and I can begin to acknowledge, I can begin to celebrate and encourage him in how he is pursuing the Father. And then one day we both looked, and we trust each other. We love each other. There's fruit in our marriage. And it wasn't this thing that we are trying to force. It just beautifully happened as I was walking in humility and forgiveness and as he was walking in holiness and pursuance of the Holy Spirit.
But here's the thing. Let's jump down to here, babe. Is the trust that we built, built the greatest intimacy we've ever had?
Yeah, so this is so important because we are a house that is driven to be intimate with the presence of God. And how do we do that? We do it through daily encounters, daily encountering the presence of the Lord. Well, now flip that into your marriage. How do you walk in intimacy in your marriage? By daily encountering your spouse. By making sure that there is true intimacy in your relationship. And it doesn't mean that it's always sexual, but making sure that there is moments of deep conversation, of prayer, of being there for the other person, knowing what's weighing on them. Too many marriages are probably sitting before us where you don't even know what's weighing on your spouse. You don't know what's going on in their mind. You don't know the things that they are intimately going through. This is what I mean by intimacy. Is there is not going to be fruit of intimacy in your marriage if you are not, and I know you'd make a joke in this, daily encountering one another.
See, here's what you need to understand is that this is one of the greatest revelations. I hope, men, you receive this right now. Is one of the greatest revelations God gave me about marriage was my relationship with my wife reflected my relationship with the Lord. And a lot of you think that you have a great relationship with the Lord, and you don't, because your relationship with your wife reflects your deception. The same way we have to pursue God every day is the same way that we have to pursue our spouse.
Husbands, are you loving your wife the way Jesus loves us, the church? That's what the Bible says. Wives, are you loving your husbands the way that Jesus gave up his life, sacrificed himself for the church? That's what the Bible says as spouses and how we are supposed to love each other. Does your words show that you love your spouse by how you communicate with them on a daily basis?
But there's so many guys that think that your marriage is bad because maybe the sexual part of your relationship or your intimacy isn't where you want it to be or what you imagined, or maybe even where you've pervertedly led yourself to be. But here's the problem. You need to understand this. When you pursue the heart of your wife, all levels or all things of intimacy will follow. When it's not just about working on the physical side of your marriage, but when it's about working on the heart of your marriage, then everything else grows. Because so many times the physical part, the sexual part of relationships become like business transactions.
Yeah, or just to have a baby.
It's quiet in the 8:30 service. We should start talking about political things again. No, but like there's these negotiations of selfishness when it comes to physical things. But as we have been pursuing each other, as we have been daily encountering each other, making it about pursuing each other's heart, serving one another, loving one another. Here's the thing, is so many times, you need to hear me, please, men, hear me. When we're talking about healthy relationships, you make it about this defensive stuff, where you have to resist the temptation of the world, the lust on the world, the things that come up on your phone, the ads on Fox News, whatever it is, and then you're always on this defense. But here's the thing, people say defense wins championships, but it's actually not true. Because if you don't score any points, you don't win. And I think the problem with relationships is it's important to have walls up and guard your eyes and do all of those things. But what's better than guarding your eyes all the time is giving your eyes to your spouse. And when you begin to fully engage with your spouse, when you begin to give your eyes, your heart, your passion, when the goal becomes to give your spouse the best version of you, your offense wins games. And you will begin to take territory in your marriage because your relationship will bear more fruit. This is important for you to understand. The fruit of the sexual love life that you have is not just beautiful children.
Yeah.
It actually bursts more fruit than just having children.
Yeah, it's unity, trust, joy, friendship. All of that is fruit of a sexually intimate marriage between a man and a wife. And I really just wanted to highlight friendship, because dating years start off with this beautiful friendship, and then in marriage, years go on and you have kids and jobs and you're building businesses and you lose friendship. And I just wanted to bring an awareness for this room. Like, we just want to lean in to fight for marriages, to strengthen marriages, for marriages to be healed this morning. Begin to date each other. Make sure that your week is not revolved around a million sports practices, okay? Athletic practices, to make sure that your kids are the most athletic kids on every single team, but then your marriage is falling apart because you have no date night.
Hold on, this is so important. This is so important. So you're slaves to your kids' schedule and your marriage suffers. But in your mind, they gotta make the pros. They gotta make the pros. They gotta pay for college. You're gonna go get indoctrinated at most colleges, relax. No, but this is so important, because you're going to get there and your family or your marriage is not going to get healthy. You know what's interesting is the majority of marriages that get divorced outside of the first few years is when kids go to college. Because the goal has been about just getting to that point rather than building
and
this.
And it was around their children instead of their friendship and unity and intimacy.
Pastor Ryan, would you come get on the panel? Let's give some practical advice and then let's share with what's in our heart. So practical advice for extending or expanding territory in your relationship on a daily basis is have daily encounters spiritually and physically. 8:30 is lame.
There we go.
I think it's really weird, personally. This is just a personal opinion, so don't take this to the bank. I think it's really weird when people are like, you should have romantic intimacy at least this many times. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like giving. Don't set the mark. Whoa, 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 whoa. You just, why are you limiting things? That's like people, because you stand in line for $100. Okay, we're gonna encourage everybody at least once a quarter. Like you're just getting weird. Like, stop. Like,
yeah.
No, like, where's the generosity?
Oh my.
Hold on.
You were messing up my flow that I had for.
You're welcome. Someone's getting ministered to. Regular date nights, and at least twice a year we go on trips together and kids aren't invited. And we just go and we work on our friendship and relationship and we dream together. Talk about stuff and we have fun and we don't have children. Praise God.
Can I tell you that the most beautiful thing that you can pass down to your children is by showing them what a healthy marriage looks like? How many of us are sitting in this room and it's taken years. Some of us still, like, Holy Spirit, heal me by just the trauma and the triggers and things that took place from what our parents fought through was abusive, how they parented us, how they were together, and what that passed down to us and how long it's taken to break that. The most beautiful thing that you can do for your kids is not making sure they have the best clothes, the best things, the nicest car to ride in to all of the different sports practices. That's not the best thing. The best thing is for them to see mommy and daddy in the kitchen cooking, flirting with one another. All of my kids will be like, when he comes up to me in the kitchen and starts, you know, sniffing my ear or something and flirting with me, all the kids are like, Mom, Dad, but you can see the grins on their face because there's a joy in them of watching our friendship, of watching our love, our adoration. It ministers to our kids. And so I really feel like Holy Spirit is already here, but there are, man, I had incredible parents, my mom and my stepdad, when they married and loved each other. And my stepdad, you know, prior to that, it was not good. It was abusive with my father and my mother. But my stepfather doted on my mother. She still to this day is his princess, 30 some years into marriage. And my grandparents have been together since they were 14 years old. They cannot leave each other's side. It's almost irritating and annoying. So I'm like, Grandma, just come get nails with us. Well, what's Papa going to do? I don't know. Have freedom for just an hour. Can you come get some nails with us? Do some nails. Like, let me. The Lord is going to break down, I believe, right now in this moment, the ideas, the perceptions, and the unhealthy patterns that what you witnessed as a child that you are now currently operating. And here's the thing, you know what? As I prayed into this moment, I heard some of you actually in a derogatory way calling your spouse your in-laws' names as if that was gonna fix or heal them. And this is what I feel right now. Would you just close your eyes all across this room? Is that the Lord right now, thank you that humility is in the room, Lord. That the Lord was going to show you the generational things that were passed down to you, the unhealthy patterns that are in you that you witnessed in them that is hurting you, hurting your marriage, hurting your family. Maybe it's the way that you talk to him. Maybe it's the way that you mock her, that you belittle her. Maybe it's the way that you have withheld trust from him of things he did years and years ago. And it was something your mom did with your father. But right now, I want you to focus on you. What were those generational things that were passed down to you? Because I believe this is what we're going to do, is we're going to say goodbye to the old model, to the unhealthy model, and we're going to build on God's model of marriage. Deuteronomy 32:30 says that one man can put 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to flight. I believe this morning that we can choose by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to stop attacking our spouses, but to be what the word of God says, one flesh, unified, a team that the enemy fears, that God empowers to put 10,000 to flight. That's the power of unity in your marriage. So Father, right now, as their eyes are closed, I thank you in humility that they are saying goodbye to generational curses. They are saying goodbye to devices, of slanderous words. They are saying goodbye to unforgiveness and bitterness. Some of you women have been operating it and you've wept. I see you literally weeping in the bathroom, not even knowing why you have treated him like that. And this is the answer this morning. It's been passed down to you, but right now, in a moment, the blood of Jesus can cover, heal, and deliver you. And I just saw, we're gonna have a moment in just a second, but I feel like it's gonna happen after this moment. How perfect that it's Valentine's weekend. I pray that, Lord, the conversations over dinners would be different this year. I thank you that it will be laced with humility and repentance. The Lord, I believe, I was gonna say some of you, and the Lord corrected me, every single one of you, the Lord is gonna give you something to repent to your spouse for. Every single one of you, the Lord just said, he is sharing with you right now. Don't be hurt if it's multiple things. Dive all into this new model. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation where the old has passed away. And behold, the new has come. So Father, right now, I thank you that an exchange, a holy exchange is taking place. I intercede for the marriages in this room right now, that they would offer up the unhealthy patterns in humility, the things they've been walking in, the things they've partnered with the enemy in. Wow. The Holy Spirit just said that some of you have actually shared things with friends and other family members to build a case against your spouse just in case it ends in divorce, so that they wouldn't shun you and they would side with you. Right now, all covenants that have been made with the enemy and the spirit of division, I bind right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I lift up your unity, your holiness, your righteousness, your purity. Some of you are gonna have to go repent to those friendships and those relationships of the things that you have said about your spouse that has not honored them. So Father, right now, I thank you that no condemnation is in the room, but holy conviction is in the room, that you are mending hearts, that you are mending marriages right now in Jesus' name.
Would you just grab your spouse's hand? If you could put up 1 Chronicles 4:10, expanding territory on the screen. Everybody just grab your spouse's hand. And I want right now, let there be a holy moment. Let's partner with this prophetic word that we're gonna expand territory in our marriages. And so I want right now, husbands, just begin to pray right now over your wives. 1 Chronicles 4:10. I declare right now over you, Heather. I declare this is the word of the Lord over your life. I declare the Lord would bless you indeed. I pray he would expand your territory. Come on, say your wife's name. Pray this over her. I declare that he would put his hand of favor upon you. And I pray that he would keep you from all evil. Come on, wives, right now, just go ahead and start praying that same verse over your husbands right now. Just take a moment and just do this.
We just pray 1 Chronicles 4:10. oh Lord, that you would bless Landon indeed, that you would enlarge and expand his territory, and that your hand would be upon him, and that you would keep him from harm and evil so that it might not bring him pain, in Jesus' name.
Pastor Matt, come and join me. Let's stand to your feet. I pray right now over every relationship. I declare, let faith expand territory right now. I pray right now. I pray faith for marriages right now. I pray faith for marriages. I pray healthy marriages. I pray stronger marriages. I pray the prayer that I said to Heather. I declare the strongest marriage of your life. I declare this is a year of expanding territory, and we declare it right now by faith over you, Mercy Culture, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise.
Come on, how many are blessed this morning by this conversation around relationships? I want to encourage you to share this with maybe other friends, other family members. These things have power to give life and to give hope to marriages and relationships again. Well, we're such a blessed house, and we're just such a generous house. So we encourage you. There's three ways you can give. You can text to our all-inclusive number. Text there to that number. You can also give in our giving stations, and you can go online. And today we actually have a couple opportunities to celebrate a few things. So SLS is opening with applications today. If you want more information, you can go in our MC Connect, as well as CCA, which is going to be Mercy Culture Prep. They have open houses, so you can find out more information in there. If we can have our prayer team come forward, if you need prayer, whether it be for marriage or relationship or just anything else, these people are here to pray and partner with you and see God's kingdom in your life. Can we do this one more time? Just lift up your hands. I want to pray a benediction over you. Lord, I pray you teach us your ways, that we may know you and we'd find favor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Have an amazing weekend, and we will see you later this week.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.